amen.
Well, hey, God is good, amen?
Well, if you got your Bibles, go with me to the book of Jude.
Book of Jude. I'm excited to be here. I missed you guys last week. Antonio made me look bad because we got back from vacation and Antonio came to shift and I didn't. And I was like, man, Antonio, you can't do that. I'm the pastor. And I was out to dinner with my family while you went to church. But we went and climbed a mountain, Antonio, myself, and Michael. So it was a great opportunity we got to do. So we went and climbed Mount Whitney, which is the tallest mountain in the continental United States. So yeah, we stood on top of the world. Well, at least our little 48 states world. But it was exciting. But I'm glad to be here tonight. I know that God's got something great for you. Listen, tonight, the Word of God is so simple. It's so easy. Here's the deal. It's either incredibly brave or incredibly relevant, or it's incredibly dumb for me to take it this easy. And you're like, what? What kind of pastor would ever say something like that before he even gets started? Because I'm going to tell you something tonight that every one of you in this room, normally a pastor would say that some of you know, that some of you have heard, but I'm going to tell you and I'm going to teach you a word of God tonight that every person in this room already knows. See, that's why I say it's like, it's incredibly brave. What kind of pastor would even say that? But I want to look at some things. I want to hammer some stuff home to you tonight. You know, we've only got a couple of minutes before we're going to get out of here because I know that you guys want to get out to the festivities and celebrate the beginning of fall and the end of summer. So I want to get that to you tonight. So I don't want to take up a lot of time, but I want to tell you something tonight. So we've been talking about the book of Jude. If you're just joining us or if you just come and check us out tonight, what we've been doing in Shift for the past couple of weeks throughout the summer is we've been looking at the book of Jude. A long time ago, people asked me, Pastor Luke, I really want to get into some deep messages. I really want to, you know, Shift is great, but I really want to go deep. I want to get into the Word of God. So as I was studying the Word of God, I thought, well, what better opportunity to get deep than to look at the book of Jude, because it forces us to address the subject of hellfire and brimstone, some of the things that we only read in the Old Testament, but Jude is full of that. So I thought, let's go deep. So we've been in the book of Jude. We've been studying. Pastor Joey just wrapped up a two-week series called The Decision, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But here we find ourselves in the book of Jude. Today, we're going to read in verse number 16, verse number 17. But before we even go there, let me just sum it up. I know, by reading you from Jude, let me get there because I don't even have my own Bible turned there. The book of Jude, it's one page for most Bibles. And I think in my little tiny print Bible, it's like a half of a page. 25 scriptures is all the book of Jude. So I'm going to read to you starting in verse number 4. We're going to pick up today in verse number 15, 16, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time. But that way I can give some backup. Here we go, verse number 4. Jude, there is no chapters in Jude, okay? So verse number 4. For certain men have crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation. Ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Pay attention to that because this is who he's talking about. Jude is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. The next few verses, this is who he's talking about, okay? Is these people who have crept in unnoticed, turned the grace of God into lewdness, reject Jesus Christ. Going on, I want to remind you that you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left on their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to those having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh as set forth as an example, suffering vengeance of eternal fire. There's that hellfire and brimstone I was talking about earlier. Likewise, all of these also dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, daring not bring against him a reviling accusation, said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, for whatever they know naturally, like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, the people that revile the name of Jesus Christ. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. Now, if you're just joining us, you're just I know what you're saying. I know, because I was saying it when I was reading it. What the heck are you talking about, Pastor Luke? That's all right. Go on rockchurch.com. Listen to the messages because we've been going through this for a couple of weeks. We explain all that in good detail. Now we get into the part called the decision. These are spots in your love feasts. While only they feast for you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds of late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints, to execute judgment on all, to convict who are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds and all which have committed in an ungodly way and all of harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." So the decision is basically you have the choice whether or not you're going to follow after God or whether or not you are. That's the decision. Let's sum it up, basically. All these different metaphors, they're like clouds. They're like a tree pulled up by the root. They're like stars reserved for darkness. This is basically saying that there's going to be a time, regardless of what you and I believe and how we talk about God, there's going to be a time when every person is going to face judgment, and they're going to face whether or not they made the right or the wrong decision. You think of like Indiana Jones. Anybody ever seen Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade? Most of the guys probably know that. Back in the day, but when that was a cool movie, now everybody watches all these different movies, but when we were kids, we watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, and he made the right decision. Remember the guy chose the wrong cup, and the guy, all he had to say was, well, he chose poorly. Yes. So we have a decision to make a choice so that at the end of our life, when we face judgment, when we face God, when we sit before the throne of judgment and we look upon our life, God says one of two things to us. The thing that we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Or the other thing that we don't want to hear, well, you're done. All right. Didn't go off so well. Anyways, moving forward. Today, let's take a happier approach to Jude. Today, let's look at something that's great. I like this. Verse number 16, talking about happier, talking about more a positive outlook. Verse number 16, oh, it starts in such a good way. "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." What are we talking about? Happiness. This is the choice. You can either be happy or you cannot be happy. Now, let's look at what you all already know, okay? Here we go. Ready? All of that just to say this. Verse number 17, "But you," there's that breath of fresh air in Jude. "But you," see, now he addresses what they were like. Now Jude, the half-brother of James, focuses back to you. Now you can read the Bible and you can say, ah, he's talking to me. But I don't want to stop at you. I love this. This is the encouragement today. Here we go. "But you, beloved," that word, "but you, beloved." The title of tonight's message, this little tiny Bible study where we're going to end in 10 minutes, is this: The Beloved. That's the title, The Beloved. Jude talks to each and every person who's reading this, and he says, "But you, beloved." Some things I want to share with you tonight. This, if you get anything else out of it, here it is. Ready? Ready for the information you already know? Are you ready for it? Are you ready? Hey, are you ready? Don't think about them hamburgers yet. Are you ready to hear something you already know? Ready? 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 Here it is. Here it is. You're loved. You are loved. Let that be the message tonight. You're loved. You know what? Maybe you're going through something. Maybe somebody doesn't tell you that enough. Maybe you grew up in a family where they didn't share that with you. Maybe you got in a fight with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your husband or your wife. Hey, maybe your two-year-old son doesn't want anything to do with you in this phase of his life, and you just need somebody to tell you that you are loved. Let me just share with you something. Maybe somebody hasn't said it to you in a while. Maybe somebody hasn't said it genuinely enough, but let me tell you something. You need to know that you are loved. You are loved. Regardless of whether you feel like it or not, regardless of whether you receive it or not, you are loved. That's it. That's the encouragement. You're loved. The beloved. Jude changes it to the beloved. Now, I'm not going to just stop with you are loved. I got to take you a little bit deeper than to tell you that you're loved and just call it that. I know you want to eat a hamburger, but let me share something with you. You are loved. God loves you. Did you know that? God loves you. Yes, the same God of the Old Testament, the same God that talked about Cain and Korah and the rebellion and the angels and the darkness and the trees being pulled up, the same God that talked about judgment, yes, the very same God loves you. He loves you. Did you know that? Regardless of whether or not you love him back, regardless of whether or not you even realize that, regardless of whether or not you even accept the great and wonderful gift that he's given to you, salvation through Jesus Christ, he still loves you. You need to know that. You need to know that you are loved. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul the Apostle speaking, he says, "I'm persuaded that neither death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing.
Listen, did you know that there's nothing you can do that will make God love you less? Did you know that? That God loves you. That God loves you. But we can't get wrapped so much in the fact that God loves us that we stay there. See, you knew that if Pastor Luke came up here, I wasn't just going to leave it in you're loved. Of course, we all know that. But let's go a little bit deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper with what God has for us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely. God loves you. As a matter of fact, John 3, 3rd chapter, verse number 16. I think most of us, well, a good portion of Christians ought to know this scripture. John 3:16 says for what? For God so what? Loved. For God so loved the world. God didn't just see a need and say, well, I guess so. He did it out of love. He did it out of joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop just at John 3:16. We want to stop at John 3:16, but look what 3:17 says. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, so you are loved by God. God loves you. Nothing you could do, nothing that's created, nothing in this world, no event could separate you from the love of God. We got that. We established that. But God loved you so much that he gave you something. That is, he gave Jesus Christ. Why? So that you and I wouldn't be condemned. The Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, there is no condemnation in Christ. He gave us Jesus Christ not for condemnation, but so that you and I, like the song said, can become like him. So that we could become like God, who is the creator of the universe. Wait a minute. We're getting deeper. Let's go a little bit deeper. Can we go a little bit deeper? Can I go a little bit deeper? John 3:16 is really shallow. We know that. What you choose to do with the love of God is your choice, okay? God loves you. What you choose to do with the love of God is your choice. You see, God loves us like we are. Did you know that? Did you know that? That in our sin, in whatever decision we make, whether we return the favor or we return the emotion to God or not, whether we accept Jesus Christ or not, did you know that God still loves us? Did you know that? That's a hard thing to grab a hold of. God loves us as we are, but let's go a little bit deeper. God sent Jesus Christ to give us something, salvation, to give us a life without condemnation. God loves us as we are, but what we do with that love is the choice. Is there anybody who's a parent? Anybody who's a parent? All right, I see some parents over there. Okay, anybody have nieces or nephews? Oh, look at you guys. All right. So who's a parent and who has nieces or nephews? Who has kids and a niece or nephew? And both. Both. Who's got both? Yeah? All right. Jamizzle and Jenny. What's a niece or nephew? Name? Daniela? Daniela, okay. And then name one of your kids. Just one. Johanna. Okay, so Johanna, Daniela. Would it be safe to say that you love Daniela? Yeah. You love her. She's your niece, right? Now, okay, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you. You already know where I'm going with this one. Do you love Daniela the same that you love Johanna? No. It's okay. It's all right. All right. I'll take you off the hook. Pastor Joey's got a little boy. His name's Judah. Antonio and Angelina, they got a little boy. His name's Andrew. I love their kids. But I don't love Judah. And I don't love Andrew the way I love Bjorn. Oh, my goodness. What? What are you saying? What are you getting at, Pastor Luke? Well, I'm getting at that there are different stages of love. As a parent, I love my son. As a parent, if Judah comes and smacks my kid, I'm going to be mad at Judah. Actually, correction, I'm going to be mad at Pastor Joey. But if my kid smacks Judah, I'm going to tell Pastor Joey, well, Judah probably deserved it. Because I love my kid differently than I love Judah, or I love my son differently than I love my niece or my nephew. So God loves us. God loves us, okay? You can't escape it. You can't change that. You can't, no matter what you do, you can't get rid of that, okay? God loves you. But now there are different forms of love and different levels of love. Why? Because look what it says. I told you I'm going to take you a little bit deeper. Jude, back to Jude 17. Jude 17. But you, beloved. See, now, let's look at this word. Beloved, okay? But you, beloved. Jude is not just talking to the world. He's not just talking to the world. Yes, God loved the world. We saw that. But he's talking to somebody in particular that is the beloved. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken to you by the apostles for our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? How they told you there would be mockers in the last time would walk according to their ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions. Look at this. Not having the Spirit. Not finding salvation. So here, Jude is talking to those who have the Spirit of God within them through salvation in Jesus Christ. Remember, that was John 3:16, that we would have life, that we would have everlasting life. Jesus came to say, I came that you would have life and have it more abundantly. So Jude is talking to those who are in Jesus Christ as the beloved. Okay, so now all of a sudden, there's a difference. There's a difference between a niece and a child. Or a nephew and a child. These people are spots at your table. He goes on to say, these are people that are not in the family of God. Well, what does it mean to be in the family of God? Let me take you one more place. I'll just put it up on the overhead. Blessed be the God, Ephesians the first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Did you know that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places? Sometimes you want to call them down on earth. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, listen to this, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse number 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Listen to this, by which he made us accepted into the beloved. Whoa. So when Jude says beloved, Jude's talking about a whole different category. There's a whole different category. That word adopted, you see, you and I were like nieces and nephews. God loves us. Hey, I love you. I love my niece. I love my nephew. I love you. But now all of a sudden we come into the Jesus Christ. We come into the family of God. And now all of a sudden we're no longer like nieces and nephews. So yeah, there's some benefits to being in the family. Now all of a sudden God says, I love you like my own. I love you like my own. As a matter of fact, we talked about this. Remember the title of the message is called The Beloved?
Look at this. Let's go let me take you a little bit deeper. Let me take you a little bit deeper, all right? All right? Can I take you there? I know I'm throwing scriptures at you. I told my wife I only had one, but I lied. I totally lied.
Matthew, the third chapter. Jesus goes and gets baptized by John the Baptist. All right, that's fitting. John's a baptizer. Jesus gets baptized by him to fulfill scripture. As Jesus comes up from the water, something happens. The heavens open up. The Spirit of God descends in the form of a dove, and a voice from the heavens, a voice from the sky,
okay, shouts out, Matthew, the third chapter, verse number 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were opened to him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like the dove and alighting upon him. All right? And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son.
Did you know that the word Jude used, the Greek word beloved in Jude, is the exact same word that God used for Jesus Christ? So yeah, we know that God loved Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's son sent from heaven. God loved Jesus like a son. Duh, right? Now all of a sudden that word beloved is used in Jude for you and I. You see, God love Jesus like a son, of course. But now, let this sink in for just a second. Let this sink in. Now God uses about you the very same word that he used about his son sent from heaven. That God loves you like sons and daughters, not just nieces and nephews. Now all of a sudden, there is a deep love. That Greek word that God used about Jesus is the word agapetos, all right? Coming from the word agape. Means this? Means to be esteemed, to be held dear, to be a favorite. You see, you are now a favorite child of God. You're not just a kid. When you come into the family of God, remember, and I'm speaking to the beloved, the ones who have come into Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now you have been put on a pedestal and you are a favorite to God. Now that's an amazing thought, that God has favorites. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons, but you are adopted into the family. You're favorites. You are esteemed, held dear by God. Did you know that God loves you that much? Let me show it to you why. John, the 17th chapter, Jesus, the beloved, the loved of God, says this in his prayer about you and I.
And the glory of God, as he prays to God, he says, "And the glory which you gave me," speaking to God, "I have given to them," speaking of us, "that they may be one just as we are one. And I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me, and you love them as you loved me."
You see, God loves you just as much, just the same as he loves Jesus Christ, who lives in eternity with God. Oftentimes we think of God and say, yeah, God's God of love. Yeah, God love. But let that sink in for just a moment. That we talk about love. This is the most ultimate form of love, that God loves you so much that he loves you equally to his son, Jesus Christ. You are on the same plateau, the same level as Jesus Christ when it comes to the love of God. God loves you that much. You are precious in his sight. Always remember that. Always remember that. Listen, somebody may not tell you enough that you are loved. Somebody may not have told you today that they love you. Somebody may have been saying bad things about you or said hurtful things to you and you feel unloved. But let me tell you something, it doesn't matter what you do, when you are in the family of God, you are loved so much that you are loved the same as though God loves Jesus Christ, his only begotten son. You need to know, if anything tonight, walk out of this place with your chin held high. Why? Because God loves you more than you even realize it. More than you even get it. More than you even realize, the beloved. So what do I want to tell you today? Beloved, be loved. Be loved. Remember I said it's a choice whether or not you're going to do it or not. You can choose to accept God's love or you can choose to not. It's your call. God will still love you. You might be like a niece or a nephew should you choose to not accept, but you want to be in the family of God and be loved like Jesus Christ. Be loved. Accept it. Let me take you one step further to grasp how much God loves and esteems us. Let me say this.
Then spread that love to others around. Because see, you and I are loved, but it doesn't just stop there. Jesus tells us in John the 13th chapter, verse number 34, Jesus says, a new commandment, a new commandment. This is something new. Why? Because it's never been heard of before. A new commandment I give to you, to love others as I have loved you. See, God loved Jesus. Jesus loved us. God loves us. God showed us the ultimate form of love, and he says, now I want you to go and take the love that I have given to you, regardless of whether you feel it or not, I love you more than you ever realize, and take that and spread it to the people around so that they would know that God loves them. So you're loved. Be loved. Jude says to the beloved, what I want to tell you today is go and be loved. Be loved by God because he loves you. But don't stop at just being loved. Go, be loved. And love others like Jesus, like God. That's it. We're done. God loves you.